Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
That's us. I'm John Potter, live and local, each and every Saturday between 9 a.m. and noon right here. I got a call from, just confirmation check here, I got a call from a friend in Yerington who is right there. He says the absolute cheapest gas in Yerington is $3.67. Go to the Texaco, $3.67. Okay, so that makes the cheapest gas in northern Nevada, the Costco in Carson City, at $3.65 a gallon. But the Costco in Carson City doesn't sell diesel. I cannot win with that truck. The diesel is $4 up just about everywhere. All right, something else I thought was interesting, and this is local. Do you realize that Reno and Carson City, neither city has a YMCA? I mean, I was here in the 70s. The Reno YMCA was a big thing. Remember the original, Phil? Phil, you know the original. Wasn't it near downtown?
It was downtown. It was behind, well, it was across the street from City Hall. It was just behind what was the Mapes, now the Believe sign.
Yes. Then it, I believe it went to North Reno for a while, and then they built the facility on Foster Drive near Reno High School. That one, the Reno Y there that people donated millions of dollars to build, closed over 10 years ago. The Boys and Girls Club Youth Center next door, that is still open, but Reno has no YMCA. You know, you go the nearest YMCA. I went on their website for the YMCA. The closest YMCA to us in Reno is Oroville, California.
And you don't want to go to Oroville.
And then Sacramento. Sacramento has two YMCAs. Growing up here, we always had the YMCA to go to, and that is a darn shame. I got another text from a new listener. This makes three now since last month, and I was very confused where people were getting my personal phone number, and I finally figured it out. It is on an old Facebook post that I put up, and I left it on because I was a little shocked. I left it on, though. I left the post on because I'm a lonely man. not that lonely. But this latest text was a very nice, we love the show note, and I appreciate that. And I got another text about 2 weeks ago over a comment I made after reading the Simpsons producers say Homer will no longer choke Bart story. And I guess they were getting... the Simpsons people, they were getting some flack from people about the two cartoon characters who had been on the air for, 39 years, animation characters being choked. And I think I said something like, well, these people have to be told that Homer is not a real person. And so anyway, I got this text because I thought it was kind of ridiculous that they went so far as to stop Homer from choking Bart. And this text from a listener said, oh, so you want in capital letters, you want Homer to choke Bart?
Yes, I
thought,
do.
Oh, well, okay, I guess not. I guess I botched the point there. You know, when you have a job that requires you to talk and talk a lot at different times, there's going to be some bombs here and there. Although, in 20 years at Channel 2, I don't remember any ridiculous bombs from the morning news that I uttered. Do you? Anyway, 88-4-99-10 is our number. Another strange thing in Nevada story. I did not see this game, but what strange spell was cast in Las Vegas Allegiant Stadium to make football history by beating the LA Chargers 63-21 on Thursday in Las Vegas? That, folks, is the most points scored by a Raiders team in franchise history. 9 touchdowns in one game by the Raiders? Folks, this is a Raiders team that wasn't able to score a single point against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, 4 days before. And then they score 63 on Thursday. I know somebody who turned it off because it was a blowout game. You know, blowout games are boring. But then this person had to turn it back on just to see this apocalypse. He says the 63-21 final score actually makes the game sound closer than it actually was. 42-0 at halftime. Some commentator on the telecast said, "Well, Chargers, if you're looking for a silver lining, the plane ride home is only 45 minutes." And the tweets. Oh, my gosh, the tweets. Okay, let me read some. "Well, they can always say, at least they didn't score 70 on us. Thank goodness Coach Staley for the Chargers is a defensive guru, or this would have gotten ugly. This game was akin to watching the University of Alabama playing football against St. Mary's Home for Unwed Mothers. Maybe the Chargers thought the game was on Sunday. As a native San Diegan," is that what they call it? "As a native San Diegan, it's a relief this team is not our problem anymore. It could have been worse. They could have lost to the Patriots. My wife was about to put a Chargers jersey on our son, and that's when I reminded her that jersey is a choking hazard." Well, anyway, yesterday the Chargers fired the head guy. I shouldn't laugh at that. They fired the head coach for the Chargers. But aside from that, the NFL is, I don't know why, the NFL is a different animal from when I was a kid. I doubt a head coach back then would have embarrassed another team to that degree, racking more points like the Chargers did in that fourth quarter just to rub it in hard. What do you think? And another thing that is different, these players behave totally differently in every single game. Pro football players do this pointing thing at an opponent when they spot a penalty. You know, if somebody just jumps the gun on the starting line, there will be 4 players from the opposing team all pointing at the guy. Back in my day, players did not act like the rule enforcers. They left it to the refs. That's their job. And now you see a player jump the queue, cross a scrimmage line before the punt. You get the 4 players on the other side jumping up and pointing at the guy, even though the refs already saw it, along with millions of other people. I just don't remember that from my childhood. Is that the gleeful pointing out a mistake behavior that we want our kids to learn from? I don't mind all the new dances and the routines the players make when they score a touchdown. I think that's kind of fun. It used to be a penalty if they did that, by the way. That was, I saw one player throw his arms up and do a little jig once back in the 70s, and I think they fined the guy. But that's okay. They're entertaining. But I remember when everything else was not allowed and when players were not snitches, you know, pointing out errors. All right, let's go to the phone, 884-9910, all the way from Tahoe. It's Bob. Bob, thanks for calling. I appreciate your call.
Hey, good morning, John.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, I just want to comment on remembering vets. And one good way that I've learned is, I don't know how many people really look at YouTube, but there's many, many, many interviews. They're trying to save the stories from Vietnam, Korea, World War II. And they're just, a lot of them are enthralling, stories of, from Medal of Honor winners, Silver Star, Bronze Star, and just the grunt stories from all the wars that that are, you know, people are still alive.
Yeah. Absolutely. Are you going to make it out to the Wreaths Across America ceremony at noon today, sir?
No, probably not. We're kind of trying to get ready for the next round of weather up here, so not going to make it, but sounds like a good time.
Is with it. And, you know, what you say is something that should be said a lot more often, especially in places like schools and such, that, you know, I did not personally go to Vietnam. I had back then, if you were in college, you got some sort of deferment. And I kind of feel bad about that. You know, they had that lottery back in the day, too, where they drew your birthdays. And I was like at the very end. I have to admit, I breathed a sigh of relief. But I feel a little empty that I did not do my part during that time. I do know a veteran who came back, though, a good friend of mine who served in Vietnam and came back. He was actually on leave. He had to go back there, and he came back to Reno. And after what he saw in Vietnam, to see people in nightclubs and coffee shops and Macy's and all just having a ball, it just blew his mind that our minds here, civilians' minds, were nowhere near what he saw in Vietnam, and we did not really know the full impact of what was going on over there. And it just really shocked him and actually disappointed him greatly that, oh, here it's just regular life is going on, almost like a party compared to what he experienced in Vietnam. So anyway, I had to add that to your call,
Bob.
I do appreciate your call. Yeah, anything else you want to say about the vets?
Well, it's just, you know, these stories bring you back and you realize how little that we honored the guys that went through all this stuff in Vietnam. And it's just, it's shameful that, you know, the way things were here. And these 18, 19-year-old guys that went over there and they came back and they were just, you know, damaged for the rest of their life. You know, they just didn't recover from it, but they tell their stories and they're immediately back in Vietnam when they tell their stories. They're just like, and it helps them, you know, it helps their PTSD and it helps, you know, helps us understand what they went through and how shameful it was, how they were treated when they came back.
Well said, Bob. And again, I appreciate your call, and call anytime here on Saturday morning. Have yourself a good day, sir. That was a good call. All right, we're going to take a break. It's 10:19, and we're going to come back. Oh, I got to talk about the former president coming to Reno tomorrow, and you can talk about it, too, at 884-9910. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 10:19.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hi there, John Potter here. I have some advice if you're wrapping Christmas gifts today. Do not sit on the floor without a plan on how to get back up. That is for the seniors, fellow seniors, this morning. Okay. 884-9910. Okay, I mentioned this Wednesday. The Republican-controlled House of Representatives voted along party lines to formally launch an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Our Nevada Congressman Mark Amadei voted for this. Former President Trump is campaigning hard already today. The former president is in New Hampshire. By the way, nobody says president or former president. It's always Trump, Trump, Trump. Even our local stations call him that. Former President Trump is campaigning in New Hampshire, holding a rally today on the University of New Hampshire campus. Tomorrow, I'm sure you heard, he is in Reno speaking at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. This is at 2 o'clock on Sunday, tomorrow. Doors open at 11 a.m. He is, and you'll see this because I've seen him in person. He is such a contrast to Joe Biden. It is just amazing to me that Biden just turned 81. Trump turns 78 in June. So they're only 2.5 years apart. But looking at them and hearing them talk, you would think it was a 30-year difference. The energy. And yes, he still exaggerates. You know, he said he'd shut down the border and make, but he did say he'd shut down the border and make the U.S. energy independent. And I think the majority of Americans do want those same things. Our economy was booming and we were almost energy independent. Lately, though, the big talking point for the Democrats and also the news media has been the dictator thing, that he would be a dictator, as he said, on the first day. And that's all we heard last week about his campaign platform. Instead of the Make America Strong Again policies that he talked about, which are low taxes and low-cost energy, secure border, and no wars. And I'm not the biggest Trump fan. I sometimes hope for a different person for the party because I don't know if he can win. His popularity, 42.5% favorable, 52.7% not favorable, and that's general population. Then again, Biden's is 38% approve, 55.1% disapprove. Last week, in response to a reporter's softball question to this is what President Biden said. The question, though, was, can you beat Donald Trump in the next election? And Biden said, 50 other Democrats could beat Trump. And I actually yelled at the screen, well, let one of them run. You know, even the Democrats I talk to, they're not crazy about Biden, but they say they're going to vote for him because he's already defeated Trump once and they think he can do it again. I don't think so. I think Americans will make a different choice next year, and Trump right now, I think he would win. He's not my ideal choice at all. The negativity, the trash talking, the inciting anger, those are not traits I admire in a man. So I do see the weaknesses of Trump very clearly. But while he was president, until COVID, things mostly went very well. Good policy. The economy was great. By the way, the Biden campaign has decided to stop using the term Bidenomics anymore when talking about the economy because it isn't working, right? But back to Trump. We had no wars. The world was better because America was strong. But still, it looks like we're going to get this two-man race again. And part of me thinks how foolish we must look to the rest of the world with this rerun between these two. Is that the best our country can come up with, these two? And then there's the vice president factor. When you're talking about a president who's 81 years old, I think Biden thinks he's FDR, but he's certainly not. Because in his last term, Roosevelt was backed by Harry Truman, who ended up being a strong leader and a good president. He hated Republicans, but he was a good man. He was a good president, a good moral leader. It worked out well. FDR's backup was a very good choice. Kamala Harris is not a good choice. Kamala Harris as president is scary to a lot of people. Her interviews are terrible. She did a terrible job in charge of the border. And then if you remember, she was head of fighting cancer. Nothing came of that. Instead of making competence the determining factor for choosing a VP, they just wanted a woman of color. And the sad thing is, there are so many intelligent, brilliant women of color that he could have chosen. Condoleezza Rice, hello. You know, there's a long list of names we could choose from, but Joe Biden does not have Harry Truman waiting in the wings, okay? And that's not good for us. And finally, another factor in the next election is the anti-Semitism of the liberal progressive movement. It may not drive Jewish voters to the Republican Party, but it ought to give them a reality check on where they stand in the Democratic Party. Honestly, the great propaganda victory of American progressivism is to have convinced the most free, equal, and prosperous people in the history of mankind that we are all oppressed, divided, and victimized. And whatever happened to "we don't negotiate with terrorists," the Biden administration mistakenly believes that you respond to hostage-taking with generosity. You don't. You respond with vengeance. You don't reward them. You punish them. The more ransom you pay, the more hostages they will all take in the future. The more kidnaps you, the more kidnappers you kill, the fewer there are. Just basic math. Anyway, I'm John Potter. Got a break for Fox News. Next guest coming up next. Our phone line's always open, 884-9910. And it's a beautiful Saturday morning. We're going to break for Fox News right now. Back in a few. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1030.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hi, friends. 884-9910, our number. I'm John Potter. It's all live and local. Our guest here for a segment is Chris Weaver with BLM, Bureau of Land Management, Fire, and Aviation. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
All right, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I hear you have a rather interesting background. You're from Wyoming.
Yeah. Originally from Casper. Started my fire career there with the Bureau of Land Management in 2008. Spent five seasons there before moving to Idaho to join a hotshot crew based out of Twin Falls. Four seasons there, and then three in Elko, which really sparked my love for Nevada.
Sparked your interest in fire. Well, Elko, I don't know what the status is now, but all through the 80s and 70s and 90s, I remember they had that big fire training facility in Elko. Whatever happened to that? That was part of UNR.
You know, I'm not totally sure. There is still a very robust fire program there for Bureau.
I think it was turned over to somebody else, but okay. UNR had a really good program training firefighters in Elko.
Oh, okay.
You'd see it from the highway. They'd have these buildings that they would train on and learn to fight fires.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Did you enjoy Elko?
I did, yeah. Really enjoyed the city, the area surrounding the Rubies, and you know, you get north into Jarbridge and the Oahe Desert, and
and all that Basque food in Elko.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, what got you interested in fighting fire for the BLM?
You know, I grew up in central Wyoming. We had a lot of forest and wild land, and the area I lived in my senior year of high school, we had a large fire that forced my family to evacuate and really put it in the forefront, you know, of my mind, and I was just awed by, you know, the immensity of the fire behavior that was happening, you know, in front of me, and then just everyone that came in overnight almost just to help, you know, support that community and fight that fire. And it really drove me to want to be part of that and you know, help protect our public lands and you know, be part of something bigger than myself.
Fire can affect people. It's a traumatic disaster for a lot of
Absolutely.
People who
yeah.
face it. Well, the reason you're here is because, folks, great career move we're going to tell you about here, because BLM Fire and Aviation is right now hiring.
Yeah, that's correct.
Give us the pitch, my friend.
Yeah, so a little bit about Bureau of Land Management Nevada. So Bureau of Land Management Nevada is almost 48 million acres of Nevada. That's 63% of the land that comprises Nevada,
yeah,
which is pretty incredible. And it's broken up into six districts throughout the state. We'll go around, but you have Elko District, Ely District, Southern Nevada, which is Las Vegas area. Coming back up, you have Carson City, Winnemucca, and Battle Mountain. So each of those areas have their own BLM district, and each of those districts have their own firefighting programs.
And so, stations, too.
And stations, yep, absolutely. So right now we're hiring in Elko, Ely, Winnemucca, and Battle Mountain. Those jobs are open on usajobs.gov until December 26th for engine programs. And then we also have jobs open for our tanker bases, which is where you'd see the fixed-wing aircraft, both single-engine air tankers, which are the smaller ones with one propeller, and then larger, you know, dual or multi-engine aircraft that are dropping retardant on the fires.
To be a young man again, I would just jump at this because I love, you know, I've talked about this all the time. I love the rural towns in this state. You know, to me, a vacation is taking a 3 or 4 day trip on Highway 50 or 80 and staying at Austin and Eureka, Battle Mountain, all those places, beautiful. And you'd be like the big fish in the little, you know, pond out there. I mean, that's big stuff. Let's get to the brass tacks here. What does it pay to work for BLM Fire and Aviation?
So entry-level jobs start right at $15 an hour. That doesn't include overtime and then what we call hazard pay, which is another additional 25% pay when you're on a fire. So that's the compensation for the hazardous situation you're put in. So you'd have overtime for anything over 8 hours. You'd have your hazard pay. And then, you know, currently we'll see how funding works with the federal government. But we were fortunate enough to get a retention incentive that was put in place through bill funding that equates to 50% of your base pay. So at the $15 an hour, you're making an extra $750 per base hour that's
right
attached
off
to every
the bat?
Check. Right off the bat, yep. So, yeah, it comes out to, you know, an additional about $700, $800 per check every 2 weeks that you're getting just that, you know, the government's trying. We're having, you know, a hard time finding folks, especially in these rural areas that want to take on this challenge and be part of this program. So, you know, we're trying to find ways to help, you know, make it more livable, more sustainable for folks to come in and take an opportunity like this.
You sound really serious about this, and it's kind of scary to think. Are we talking about a staff shortage for our rural communities for
yeah.
fighting fires there?
Yeah, we absolutely are, unfortunately. And, you know, it's one of those things that BLM Nevada is addressing through a recruitment and retention program that we've developed at the state level, and then we have representatives at each district throughout the state that help with the application and recruitment process for, you know, new firefighters and then also helping to bring back our firefighters that, you know, finished the previous season.
Do you have age restrictions for these jobs?
So, yeah, that's a great question. So you have to be 18 years old. You have to be a U.S. citizen and then have a high school diploma or GED, and then you need to be able to show 6 months of any work experience on your resume. Those are the requirements. In terms of upper level, you know, generally by 37, it's hard to be able to get what we call career seasonal position, which is where you're getting your pension and you're in the system for healthcare and everything. And that's because the way that government has put fire in its retirement, you have to retire by 57 and you have to have 20 years in. So past 37, it's very difficult to find a what we call career seasonal position.
If you're looking at doing this, folks, you can look at a map of the state of Nevada and pretty much pick your location in our great state where you want to do this. So cool. What about housing? Now, the employees or the people being trained, they find their own housing, or do you have barracks or anything like that?
So that all depends on the station that they are hired at. So what I would recommend is we have a website, nevadafireinfo.org, and on the top right you'll see a careers tab and then a contact a recruiter, and we have that set up so that folks can go to the calendar and select a time, and it'll email us so that we can reach out to them one-on-one and answer these questions on where they're interested in working. Do they need housing? You know, what's their schedule like? What's their background? So we can connect them with the district representatives and the hiring officials at those districts to put them in the best position to be successful in their application process.
All right, let's sell them on this. How great, how exciting can this job be?
I mean, it can be, you know, the best job It's the only job I've had since I've been 18. But you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything else. I mean, I've been to the tops of mountains, you know, on fires that maybe two other people have ever been to. You know, I've been out in the Owyhee Desert watching wild horses run across. You know, being able to see the earth round because it just goes on forever nothing there. So, you know, it's a pretty incredible opportunity. You know, there's so many avenues you can take within fire, whether it's the engine programs. We have dispatch centers that we rely on to get us to fires, get all our logistics, you know, ordering food, water, equipment to the fires, hotshot crews. We have two BLM hotshot crews out of Nevada, one in Elko and one in Carson City. You know, we have a veterans crew out of Las Vegas, the Vegas Valley hand crew. So, you know, two helicopters in Elko, and then a helicopter in Las Vegas that support initial attack throughout the state. And then our dozer program as well. We have heavy equipment, so we have an immense amount of opportunity within the state for growth and you know, career development.
Speaking of equipment, any new technology when it comes to any new gadgets for fighting fires in Nevada?
The coolest one, you know, it's not Nevada specific. We're interagency, so everything we do, we bring people in from all over the country, you know, to support fires, and we go all over the country, and last year even to Canada to help support fire, you know, suppression.
You could be sent anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So last year I was in Alaska, Washington,
whoa,
Louisiana. You know,
no kidding. Wow.
So, but by far the coolest, you know, technology I've been exposed to is drones, and the use of drones both for infrared for seeing where a fire is, because you know, even like a day today driving in here, you know, you get that layer of haze that settles in, and when we have a big fire, as everybody knows from 2020, 2021, you know, these valleys, they just sock in and you can't see your hand in front of you. So when we're trying to figure out where a fire is, you know, it can be really hard to use aircraft for that, but we can use drones to fly over the top and use infrared to kind of see through all that to find out where a fire's moved overnight or through the day. And then
you need people to run them.
Yeah, and that's another program. We don't, you know, there's that opportunity in Nevada, but it's still one of those emerging technologies that, you know, we're finding how to best utilize still. So
all you need is a 6-month work history. And you're in for training, if accepted. What's that training like, and how long?
So generally, it's going to be a very intensive week of basic fire school. So we've got a few classes that you go through in the classroom, and then a lot of field exercises. And that's going to get you to the bare minimum. That's going to, you know, get you a shovel or Pulaski in your hand, and then from there, that's when the real training starts. You know, the biggest parts of that are to come in with a good attitude, you know, ready to learn, and then physically fit. We do have the PAC test, which is the physical fitness requirement that you're required to complete, which is a 3-mile walk on flat ground with 45 pounds in 45 minutes. So if you can't pass that, then you're not allowed to be an arduous firefighter. But we also like to emphasize that that's a bare minimum. If you're struggling with that, the rest of the job is going to be really hard because, as you know, nothing around here is flat.
Yeah. Any perks that we missed here? Vacation time, things like that? Or
So for seasonal employees, you know, you can get health care during your time as a employee, and the federal government has great health care benefits.
You're a federal employee, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And then once you get in as a career seasonal, which usually happens, you know, two to 5 years in after your seasonal time, you know, you get vested in your pension. We have TSP.
A pension funds.
Yeah, which is hard to find. You're not going to find.
Oh, my, no.
You have a pension.
Where were you 30 years ago?
You have TSP, which is the federal government 401k program. Yeah, great, you know, vacation time. You start out at 4 hours every pay period, and then you go to six, and then eight. And then, you know, yeah, you can retire. If you're under the age of 50, you can retire after 25 years, over the age of 50 after 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, it doesn't sound – that's the kind of thing when I was 19, I didn't care about that stuff. But if I could tell these 19-year-olds, these 20-year-olds, 21, like, these are really great things that 10 years down the line, you're going to be really glad that, you know, you looked into.
I do know somebody who's, about 19 years old, who is interested in working as a firefighter. How is BLM Fire and Aviation, how is that different from other fire agencies?
Well, like I said, we have the largest landmass within Nevada, which also lends us to have one of the largest BLM fire programs in the nation. We have, you know, over 50 engines. We have the two hotshot crews, the veterans hand crew, three helicopters. So we have a very robust and large program. We have the dozer programs, the dispatch programs. And so that leads to a lot of opportunity within the state for growth and development. You know, like I said before, we're interagency. So, you know, we help the Forest Service. The Forest Service helps us, you know, Park Service. Mm-hmm. All our municipal partners, you know, we all work together because at the end of the day, when there's a fire happening, the goal is to put it out and to, you know, preserve life and property as best we can. So, you know, we are unique in our size and our opportunity. And I think the focus that BLM Nevada puts on our employees, you know, we emphasize, you know, mental health well-being. We emphasize, you know, work-life balance, which, you know, are really important factors to maintaining, you know, a demanding career like this. But at the end of the day, you know, we're part of a bigger team and part of making sure that, you know, the goal at the end of the day is to get everybody home and protect life and property.
We're not talking just guys here. We're talking
women. Men, women. Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. What was the last fire that you were at the scene of?
So down in Louisiana. Just.
You do get to travel.
Yeah. 400-acre fire down in Louisiana.
Fascinating. Really is, Chris. Chris Weaver. Bureau of Land Management, Fire and Aviation. And before you go, give us that website.
Yeah, NevadaFireInfo.org. And contact a recruiter in careers, tons of information. You know, we want to hear from anybody that's interested in any aspect. And we're here all winter long to help set you up for success, to make sure you get your application in. The application process for the federal government is different from the private sector, so it's super important if you're interested. Reach out. We're happy to help. We're here to help.
I'm really glad you came out here and offered this opportunity and talked about it, Chris. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and the time.
Yeah, for sure, my man. Bureau of Land Management, Fire and Aviation there. I'm John Potter. This is Live and Local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. Back in a few minutes. Back to what's in the news I'll get into here. Phone lines open 884-9910 on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1051.
The FM new news and talk of Northern Nevada, 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley, in Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Thanks again to Chris Weaver, the guest that we just had on. And at 50 years old, Chris gets to retire with the BLM Fire and Aviation. That's the deal. Federal employees, a pension and everything. But at 50, he gets to retire. I'm 70 years old in June, and I still want, need to work. I need a job that isn't so jobby, where I can do work that isn't so worky. You know what I mean? And he gets to work in nature, in our wonderful nature in Nevada. Tell your kids, if they make friends with nature, they will never be alone. That is true, but it's also still good also to have a dog. Dogs can make a huge difference in your life. They are awesome. I know people who strive to be the person their dog thinks they are, and it's truly a humbling moment when you realize your pet has successfully trained you to do something, isn't it? And I told some neighbor kids that if they make friends with nature, they'll never be alone, but it's still good to have a dog. I just random thoughts this morning. I'm John Potter, 884-9910. What are we going to get into? Let me see. Whatever is on Phil's mind today, he's running the show from Carson City. You still there, Phil?
No, I left, but I'll be back in a little while. Please leave a message after the beep.
You never get a straight answer at this place, but you're there. Also, I'm going to get into the Sparks Police Department. They're second retail theft crackdown. And how is that going? Also, the Ukraine bill, you know, Congress left the Capitol on. Yeah, Congress is on break again. Congress left the Capitol on Thursday without approving a compromise spending bill for Ukraine and our border. And this all started with the Ukrainian President Zelensky visiting Washington on Tuesday, looking for more money. That's expected. You know, he's been hopscotching around the globe, talking to diplomats, trying to get some money from other countries. And President Biden ended up asking for more Ukraine money, $110 billion, because we are the big honeypot, after all. And thus far, the United States taxpayers have already sent Ukraine $118 billion. You may agree with that, and it may be necessary. My feeling is, and I think I mentioned before, I wish there were stricter controls. I wish we were doing some auditing from a country that has a real problem with corruption. Anyway, what do you think? 884-9910 is our number. I'm going to break for Fox News while I go get some coffee, which I needed at 9 o'clock this morning. not myself. 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Talk. Another hour to go. I'm John Potter. Back in a few minutes after we take top of the hour Fox News. FM News Talk time, 10:58.